Sunday, 25th of April, Yud Alev Iyar, Parshas Behar, Parsha Theme, Rabbi Daniel Rowe.
Okay, so we want to get a little bit into Parshas Emor. I really want to say maybe a little as an idea. Once heard I was in the Eruchaim Shul in the old city in Yerushalayim. There's a man who used to give shiur, Matzio Weinberg. I want to say something I heard from him. But I want to say, maybe add most of a few other things as well. Let's see if we can, in the nick of time, develop something that's good with the Seder. So let's see. When you look at the Seder as a whole, you'll see that the Seder, like a few other Seder, and so it appears to meander around various different themes, not always obvious what are the central points of the Seder. We like to always do that, take a look at the structure, see what the whole is doing. Right. First of all, if you look at, there's actually as many as 11 different parashat psuchos, as many different major sections of the Sedra with a few more minors. The first begins with the dinim of the Kohanim, a few new dinim, particularly who the Kohen can become tameh for in avelu, in kavura, in burial, who he can actually bury, and also a few halachos of marriage, of other things. Same with also the Kohen Gadol, and then we have the issue of the Kohen Baal Mum, that a Kohen can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash if he's a Baal Mum, if he's got certain physical defects. Then the second section deals with a few topics meshed together, primarily to the Issa Tumah, the Issa Tumah Mekdashim, that in other words you can't bring something Tumah, and also that a Zara, a non-Kohen, can't eat Truma. Again, we ask the question, what are these doing together? They're not obvious. They appear to be separate issues. One is that a Kohen, when he can serve, not when he's Tomei, and the other is when a non-Kohen can eat Truma. And all of these, quite of course, all these parashas were bothered by why are they here in Parashas Emor. We've had Tzabat speak about Kohanim. We've had Tzav. We've had plenty of place in Torah to discuss Kohanim. Why did we wait for a few more halachos of Kohanim to emerge here? But then we go further. We have a third parasha, and the third parasha in its first Tumah decides to speak about korban, a korban that's a Baal Mum. You can't bring a korban that's a Baal Mum. It's a korban that's physically defective. And again, here we've got the same problem. We've never mentioned korbanos before in Torah, but by Yikron Tzav, why do we leave it? It's like we're sort of tying up loose ends. It's very strange. And then within that, there's another stuma which gives us a few more halachas of korban. We have to wait 8 days. That pickle, if you have the wrong machshov of when you want to be, it can make it not kosher. And then all of a sudden, you have something that's not actually, turns out anyway, not to do with korban. And that's oisav es benoy, you can't shech the mother and child, you can't shech on the same day. And then we have, of all places in the Torah, we have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. Have you heard it here? In the middle of a discussion about other things, about korbanos and mumin and all these various things, you suddenly, out of nowhere, just have literally these psukim, which form, lefi the chinuch, and lefi pretty much everybody, the bedrock of shmiras and mitzvahs. The only mitzvah that literally allows you to die for any other mitzvah is chilul Hashem. Not to cause a chilul Hashem, you have to give your life. There's gimel chamuras where you have to give your life, whether it's a chilul Hashem or not. But any chilul Hashem, you have to die rather than do. It's a power. It's the whole purpose of the world is kiddush Hashem. And here we get in Torah about the whole parasha called kedoshim. The whole parasha all about everything's being kodesh, re-kodesh, and all of a sudden Kiddush Hashem emerges in the middle of Emor, and some discussion about Chassidim and Goshen and Mullen and various other things. Very, very interesting thing that it waits till there. Then we have a number of parashas that deal with the Moedim, with the Yom Tovim. And again, it's very strange. What is that doing in Vayikra? Right? We'd expect, there's plenty of what to do in Vayikra. Say for Vayikra, it's all about korban. We learn virtually no new dinim of the Yom Tovim. We've learned about all these Yom Tovim at least twice before in Torah already. We learn about Shabbos again. We've learned that many times. And we don't even introduce the new korbanos. We mentioned some of the korbanos that we know of. But we don't introduce the Masofin. They're going to wait till Bar Midbar, till Parashas Pinchas. Why are we suddenly doing parasha after parasha of Eile Mardosha, Mikroi Kodesha, Tikrus, and the Mayadom, right? But this is it. This is the famous parasha of the Mayadom. Why is it here? What is it doing? What's it got to do with Vayikra? And they break down, first you have Shabbos, and it's very strange, because we call them the Mikroi Kodesh. And Mikroi Kodesh, as Chazal point out, are things that we declare. That we declare them holy. Right? Because there's no Rosh Chodesh until a Beis Din declares a Rosh Chodesh. And yet, we begin the parashas with Shabbos, which is not Mikroi Kodesh, which nobody declares. Interesting. And then again, as you look into the Pesukim, I just point this out, that in the 8th parasha, we actually get the Sukkos, right? We divide these up, and then we get into Sukkot. And when we actually speak about Sukkot itself, you seem to reach a point where the parasha should have finished, right? It does. We say over here. We get to what should be in Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Eilam Adi Hashem Eshet Shekruas Om Mikroi Kodesh Lehakriv Yishel Hashem Oilam Min Chazevach Nesochem Dvayim V'yoymoy Milvad Shabzai Hashem Milvad Man Vaitzechem Milvad Kol Nidrechem Milvad Kol Nidrechem Shatinu Hashem. We've been through Sukkah. This is now the place to end the parasha seemingly. And then we go, well, Ach B'chamisha Osi Yoyim Lechodesh Hashvi B'os B'chem Esu Azaretz Tochoygus Chag Hashem Shivos Yomim. Right, once again we go back. Well, let's go back and discuss Sukkot again. And this time we go back and add some more mitzvahs in. Very interesting structurally what is happening over here. And then, of course, we arrive at the next parasha, the parasha number 9, where we come to the Ner Tamid, Aaron has to light the menorah. Well, we've already met the menorah. You know that we've had the way the back in Shemois. You know, what are we doing over here? So Rashi says over there, it was telling us we will have the mitzvah. The mitzvah comes here. The Rabban says there can't be. It's a big discussion. But it's very strange. What is it suddenly over here? Let's remember the menorah. You know, and then we seem to move around again. We get to the Lechem Aponim. Again, why? It's like all these little bits that got missed out. What is going on? And then in the middle of the story of Lechem Aponim, we of course have the next parasha, the next parasha Stumra, a subsection of it, and we have the Ben Ish Yisraelis Ru Ben Ish Mitzri, the child, Chazal tell us, was the child of the Mitzri and Mitzrayim, who was attacking the Jew, Moshe Ben Hatzgah. And this child complains, and Chazal have a few different points of what he complained about exactly, but he ends up being Makalel, he ends up cursing, and that's the end of the parasha. That's the end of that parasha. Psucha, then finally you have the last one, where Klal Yisrael don't know what to do with him. By the way, it's according to Rashi, this is not the time it occurred. It occurred at the same time as the Mekosh Seitzim, and Klal Yisrael knew what to do with him, but they didn't know what to do with this one. So we now have this thrown out of its chronological positioning in order for the Torah somehow to put it right over here, because somehow this is where it belongs, and we, at first glance, have no clue why it belongs over here. And then not only that, in between Hashem telling us what we've got to do, we've got to punish this person, or he's got this Chayim Misa, and actually carrying it out, we seem to digress to suddenly talk about Ezekiel. You know, just in case we've forgotten about Mishpatim. If this happens, and here's where it's things. And then we stop our little digression back into Ezekiel, and we carry on. Okay, fine, now they took him out, and this is what they did. They took out the Mekalel, and the Mekalel, many questions that have to bother us about this structure of the parasha. So let's take a little look. Let's try and get a bit of deeper insight over here and see what we can understand about all of this. The first point is, with every Seder one has to look for this, what is the theme of the Seder? Chazal usually show it to us, and sometimes it's very obvious. There's terms or words or ideas that recur all the way through. And we get confused because we don't know how to look for this. Actually, in this Seder it's very obvious. There are two terms that repeat all the way through the Seder, and they are the terms Kiddush and Chilul. Mitchilul Atzeif. Obviously the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is the most dramatic expression of it. But if you look carefully, you'll see from beginning to end, one of the two major themes of the Sedra, we'll come to the other one soon in Mitzvah Hashem, but one of the primary ones, is Kiddush and Chilul. Right at the very beginning. We speak about the Koyanim, that they can only to relatives can he be Matam himself to go to the Ba. Lo Yitamaba, and he says, but if it's anyone, Lo Yitamaba, Ba'amav Lehei Chaloi. Right? It's a Chilul if you do. They should be holy to Hashem. A Kohen who doesn't do what's right for Kuna is called Chilul, once again. Right? And then we carry on. We call Isha that the woman who's come from the wrong type of Kuna to give an Isha, but Chalolo, and a Chalal, the word Chilul is called desecration. Right, the Kiddashtoi, Kiyas Lechem Elokecho Makriv, Kodosh Yeh, Loch, Ki Kodosh Yeh, Shem HaKadosh Yeh, all the way through. Uvatish Koen, Ki Seichel, Libnei Zerah, etc. Mechaleles, Baish Desoim, all the way through, parash after parash, turn after turn. Then next in the parash of Koen Godel, same thing, Vilei Chaleles, Mikdash Elokom, Grusha Bechalola, etc. Vilei Chaleles, Zerah, Bamov, Ki Ani Hashem, Mekadshoi. Then you get into the parash of Mum, the same thing at the end of the parasha. Lo yechalel es mikdash shai, coming in as a baal mum, a kohen is not fit. Is again, it's called chilul all the way through. You can't look at one by all the same thing. It's chilul. It's kiddush. It's kiddush. It's chilul. Right? You get up to the next issue of tumah. Lo yechalel es shem kodshi, again and again. right? When you get into truma, the same thing. Ki yichalu, same thing. Ani Hashem Megadish Lem. V'lo yichalu is called Shem Bnei Yisrael, etc., etc. You get into this issue of Bama. Same, wherever you turn, same issue. When you get to the next parasha, v'lo yichalu Hashem called Shem Megadish Lem, v'lo yichalu Bnei Yisrael, all the way through the recurring theme. And of course, when we get to the Mayavos, the Amin Tovim, then they cry, Kodesh Shetikruas and Mamadam, is how you bring Kiddush into the world, right? And obviously, of course, as we pointed out, the actual mitzvah of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, right? And this is works all the way through, and obviously the Mechala is Mechala Hashem Shemaim. So this is one major issue that has to throw itself to us. What is fascinating is, why are these the parishes that deal with Chilul and Kiddush Hashem? Why is this Chilul and Kiddush Hashem? It's amazing. If you look, where does the actual mitzvah of Chilul and Kiddush Hashem emerge from in Torah? In literally Dinei Halachos of Korbanos. Technical details of Korbanos. You would not have thought that's the dramatic place to put the notions of Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. Wait till of Avas Hashem, when you're dealing with Avas Hashem, or Seres HaDibros, or somewhere. You know, that's where Kiddush and Chilul Hashem is. But amazingly, if you look at the other major discussion in Tanakh about Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, which occurs at the beginning of the Navi in Treyarch, the Navi Malachi, right? You have it as after in Brachos, in Tosafot. Here we have like this. This is Hashem communicating through the Navi, right, what's going to bring about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we know from Chazal that the first Beis HaMikdash came because of Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zarah, the three of the heaviest Avodahs. We know that this is involved. So we expect the Navi's going to warn them, you're serving idols, you're killing people, you're immoral. This we expect to be the speech. This is the great Chilul Hashem. And yet, the Pesukim say this, Hashem saying, look, there's a lack of kovod shomayim going on here. Right? These kayanim who disgrace my name. And you guys are all saying, what have we done wrong? You bring a korban mincha that's not nice. You bring old bread, you bring stuff to that matter. You say, what is this? You say, it's God's table, it's not so. If you bring a blind korban, that's not bad. It's an issa d'oraisa. It's limb and ill animal, lame animal, ain't rock. Would you pull that into your gates or to the gates of Manasseh? What would you do? Hayyitzah, would you like it? Hayyitzah, ponecha, mashem tzvokit. Again, the same issue. Parasha of Korbanos of the Bali woman. That's the great Chilul Hashem. I mean, it's an issa d'oraisa. It's getting technical. The eyes slit a little bit. It's a problem. It's an issa d'oraisa, right? But that, where there's Avodah Zarah, there's Gilei Arayos, there's Shvichas Domim, there's terror. This is the one that we're going to say is the whole of Chilul Hashem. And it goes so far. And the Rambam brings this. Mi gam lachem v'yizkot l'osayim, I wish someone just come and shut the doors and keep your korbanos out. Right? Amazing. The power of these psukim, very frightening when we read them. I have no desire for you, Am Hashem Tzvakos. I don't want your manachos. Because from east to west, I have a great name amongst the nations. Etc. In bringing Sulim Mukdashin and Bali Mumin, Karbonas, 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 you are Mechalalei Shem Shammai. Same as Amorous, you see, it's clearly not a Kemis Neblissi. And by the way, Rashi brings this very perek of the Navi, Rashi brings this very chapter, in our Sedra. Rashi brings it over here. When it comes to a different parasha, but the Koyen who's a Balmum, a Koyen who's got physical defects, why can't he serve? And Rashi says, in Pasuk Yud Ches, Yikonish Hashem Boi Mum, he says, what do we say? We say, Lo Yikarak, Yalak of Lechem Eloiko. Says Rashi, Eino Din Sheyakav, it's not right that he should be fitting, Kamoi Ha Kriveyu Nola Vechosecha, exactly as the Navi says about animals that aren't totally fit, so clearly a human has to be too, it's logical. And there's nafkaminis and halacha that come out of this. We learned in and from it. It's an amazing thing. That's Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. So obviously one of the elements that's emerging very strongly from this is that we sometimes may not understand, we may not get what Chilul Kiddush Hashem is, but there's something that's very powerful here. Because it's as if the Navi is telling us, and this has to be pshat here. The Navi can tell us that yes, there can be terrible averas going on, but what is the ik of kiddush Hashem? The ik of kiddush Hashem is that the Rambam says the ik of kiddush Hashem is that you love the mitzvahs so much so that you're willing to give your life, sacrifice for them. You love Hashem and His mitzvahs, and you express that and manifest that in your behavior. That's the ik of kiddush Hashem. Now, of course, that also translates into going out and making sure there's more kavod shamayim in the world and various other things. But the ikar, it comes from a love of Hashem manifest, and that is the kiddush Hashem. And when a person shows that a mitzvah is not valuable or meaningful to them, they'll trade it for something, they'll give it up for something, that is chilul Hashem. Now, in that context, it's very possible what's going on, because you see, in any relationship, if Kiddush Hashem is effectively relationship with Hashem, and Chilul Hashem is that there's no importance to the relationship with Hashem, well, if that is what they are, then it's quite obvious what's happening, because you see, a person can mess up in a relationship, Chas V'Shalom, and it can even mess up in a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, Chas V'Shalom. But there's always a pathway back, provided deep down there's something very strong that's there. And you know, if you imagine, you can imagine in a marriage somewhere where somebody has a tie on the other partner, that whenever I talk to them, they're not paying attention. They're busy. These things can happen. Right? They can, you know, they pay attention to me and stuff. You know what? And you can survive such things. There are the glitches. You can survive. You can work it through. Not a big disaster. But imagine you're standing under the chuppah, right? And the chosan's phone rings. You know? And then imagine if instead of switching off the phone, he picks up the phone and decides to have a conversation. So that's not forgivable. A marriage can survive far worse crimes, but there's places that are meant to be sacrosanct. There's places that are so special, so focused, so there, that an absence there, a lack of care there, is a destruction of the entire value, a demeaning of the whole relationship itself. Averas, terror, gimel chamuros, avodah zarah, this is disastrous. But at least in the Beis HaMikdash there should be some expression of the fact that really you want this relationship. Well, if there you bring korbanos that you couldn't really care about, then there's nothing left. That's chilul Hashem. You don't really care. And so Parshas Emor, just already understanding this, we begin to get an enormous mafterech into what Parshas Emor is doing. Parshas Emor is going to define for us what it is that defines, that makes the relationship of Hashem special. And you know the lashon that's used, hayirtzecha. Is it something you would desire? Is it something that is special to you? Express yourself in this relationship. Bring the korban you'd like to see on your table. Send the person who you'd like to be your representative. And yes, even down to the aesthetic level too. Right? We're not judging a person saying he's bad because he's physically defective, but that's not how you would. If you had to send your ambassador to the king, you'd send the good-looking and the physically wholesome. So you do the same when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. You do the same, just like if you take somebody out who's meaningful to you, make sure the coloring is nice and the music is nice, you'll do the same in the Beis HaMikdash. You have to express yourself in this. And therefore the whole parasha is replete with moments that are special and times in the year that are special, and those that define the relationship. But this is obviously not complete. And why is it not complete? Because there's at least two problems with this. The first is that if Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem really revolves to a degree around your self-expression, and it seems that's a very common theme in the Parashat Bavli. Again, we have it with the Korbanos, the Lashon of it's got to be Lirat Zayin Chem, it's got to be your desire, right, the Korbanos. We have the concept of the Medrash in the Moyadim, Ein Cha Umar Shema Kevas as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like Klal Yisrael, no. Hashem has to wait for Klal Yisrael. The Malachim are waiting to bring Rosh Hashanah into the world to start the Yom HaDinah. We haven't seen the moon, so we wait. It's up to us. It's we. It's an amazing thing. It's a theme that moves all the way through. That it's we have to initiate the relationship. We have to be involved in the relationship. We have to bring ourselves, bring what's beautiful to us into the relationship. It's got that personal. And we see, and that, by the way, fits beautifully with why the Neiros are in this Sedra. Because the Medrash is brought here in Chazal. Is that Hashem says that the Or Maaseh Yodov is, He prefers the little light that we bring into the world, even to all the light that He can bring to us, what we bring into the relationship, the Mechaseh, etc., etc., etc. But there seems to be a problem, two problems. The first problem is, isn't that what we just spent several sedras trying to undo? wasn't this idea of personal expression and deciding your own way of serving Hashem and finding, wasn't that exactly what God knew? Wasn't that the problem that Chazal identified all the way back in Shemois? Right? There's many, many different midrashim and gemaras that identify where exactly the point of mistaken other than abuse move was. But one thing is for sure, that if you look at this, first of all, Chazal tells us the very first source of the whole thing was all the way back in Shemois. When we said that Atzilei B'nei Yisrael Sholach Yodoi, right there at Matan Torah, the elite of the Jewish people, which is not of an avu, Hashem didn't send His hand against. They got too close to Hashem, and then they just take whatever this pasuk exactly means, but there's some lack of boundary. And we spent weeks and weeks straight after they die in Shemirim, we have all these halachos of Dolo. You can't drink because you've got to be able to be mavdil and the hoiris, and then we have kashrus and you've got to be mavdil between them. That tells us there was some lack of avdolo, some lack of boundary that they crossed, and that's what Chazal seemed to say. They came with an Eish Zohar. It was their avoido that was not asked for. So what is this? Kiddushem Chiloshem is being defined by things we want to do and we like and we want to bring in. We just had Aliyah Avoy B'choleis. What was Acharemos for? B'zois Yavoy. It's got to be a Goyrol and you can't decide and you can't choose the Korban and all these various other. And now we're suddenly going back and arriving in Emma and saying, well, actually, no, the way you serve Hashem is a Zekeh. You know, I mean, you express yourself. You have to be the Korban you like and the people you like. It becomes possible if it's not what you like. And it's very interesting. It seems to be a little bit of a reversal. That is the first problem. And the second major problem with what we're saying, or second incompletion, is of course that the Mekalon himself has a very strong timer. He says, you see, I understand why you're rejecting me. Because you were rejecting me. One of the Chazal say was what the Yetzeh say, three different shot in the Chazal. And one of the Yetzeh may Olamari, whatever that means. He left his world, or he has this. Number two is a Chazal say. He came out of the parasha of he was trying to settle with Shevet Don. And Shevet Don rejected him because his father wasn't from their Shevet and whatever it is exactly, but he feels a reject and an outcast. And okay, you want to tell me for Kohanim, you need to care about their parents maybe because you want to bring the best and something there's no Aveirot to it, why are you rejecting me on that? But the third the Chazal says is that his Vayetzi came exactly out of the structure in this week's Sedra, the parasha of Lechem Aponim. And what was his question on Lechem Aponim? He says, Lechem Aponim seems to be something terrible. Listen to Lechem Aponim. This is the Lashon of the Medrash. The Medrash says, Darakoy Shom Melech Liyos Oichol Paschama Shemot Tzeneres Kehi. The way of a king is to eat hot bread. Kings like hot bread. And you bring this cold bread, Kehi, this Staninam, right? It works out, the Lechem Aponim is always eaten between 9 days and 11 days, because you bring it from the Shabbos before until you eat it at the end. This seems to be contradicting everything else you said all the way through the parasha. You're rejecting me because of some kind of stray, like you reject a Kohen. Okay, fine. You reject me because I've expressed problems in the relationship with Hashem that my parents, my fault. And yet when you, hypocrites, you come along and you say to Hashem, when you decide a korban, the lechem upon him, and you eat it cold 9 days later, this bread that's makoyal, that makes exact sense, exactly like the whole problem of this week's Sedra. So what is happening over here? So let's try and understand a little bit deeper what the mistake of the Mekalon is. Of course, we know the mistake is that it kept warm, but let's understand the aside what is really going on. There's an element that is missing and an element that answers all our questions. Yitz Hashem, it's as follows. It is true that one cannot serve Hashem without love, spontaneity, the things we want to bring into the relationship. Zekeliva and Veva, snarl of follow the mitzvah, right? You've got to make beautiful mitzvahs. You've got to care. If you love Hashem, we're going to bring whatever we can. If we can sing nicely, we'll bring that into the relationship with Hashem. If we have creativity, we'll bring that into the relationship with Hashem. We're going to bring ourselves. We're going to have our chelik in Torah. We're going to have our way of learning. We're going to express ourselves in that relationship. But, Kiddush Hashem only works to the extent, like in every relationship, you can't just go rolling around expressing yourself. You have to be deeply conscious of other. What is the rot zone of other? And only then can we react and express ourselves. The order has to be clear. It's the other who defines the boundaries in which we work. And in the case of the relationship with Torah, of Hashem, it's Hashem who has to define for us, root us. And only when we attach ourselves to that root can we then express the way we would like to serve Hashem. And so we see all the way through the Sedra, and Muslims, I don't have time to go through all of them, but I'll show you one very powerful place. The Moyadim. Moyadim. What happens in the Moedim? How do we begin the Moedim? With Shabbos. The Moedim are our expression. It's Mikroi Kodesh. We declare them. We make them. We bring them into the world. And we bring our Korbanos. But Shabbos is that which is not that. Shabbos is its opposite. It's got no Mikroi Kodesh. It's the root. It's the Shoresh. It's that which the Rabbanu Shalom gives us. And we attach ourselves to. And indeed, all the Yom Tovim are called Shabbosoi. They have an element of Shabbos to them. They can be Mikroi, they're two things. They are Mikroi Kodesh. They do express our love to Hashem. And then they do that. And it is our declaration of them that creates them. It's us who create them. But at the same time, it's Shabbosim. It's only when it's attached to the source that Hashem creates them. And that's why Chazal Adorish, that a Machal al Yom Tov is like a Machal al Shabbos. And of course, if you pulled Shabbosim away, you'd only be left with Choy of the Moed. And we, in fact, struggled in Chazal, the Gemara strikes that it's not really Mehilcha Shabbos, the Yom Tov, the Chodomai comes. Shabbosim. And amazingly, when you look closely, you'll see, and we asked about Sukkah, why it reversed itself, but you'll see it's a very obvious reason. You can look up yourself. I don't have time now to go through the parasha bit by bit, but you'll see, whenever we refer to Shabbosim in the parasha, we bring in mitzvahs. Whenever we refer to Mikroi Kodesh, we talk about our Karbonos. In other words, right, you'll see that's what we do with sukkahs, right? What do we do with a sukkah over here? Let's just see, just go quick, just very quickly there, because I asked the question from sukkah particularly. But you'll see it with all of the modos that way. That we say, first of all, we speak about the Shivat Yom Takrivu Isha Lashem. Seventy, when we speak about this, the Moedim, we speak about then you bring Karbonos. See, this is how you bring offerings to Hashem, you express your love to Hashem. And then when we finished all of that, and we say, Movad, Shabbos Hashem, Movad, Matnoitechem, Movad, Kol Nidrechem, etc. Av Chamisha Ofiyen, Nechoydish, Bosch, Chamis, Tuvos, Ha'orik, Tachoyg, Yitzchak, Hashem, Shabbos Yom, B'yem, Rishon, Shabbosoim, Uv'yem, Shmini, Shabbosoim. Now let's tell you about mitzvahs. Urukach, then, Lecham, B'yem, Rishon, Priya, Tzolak, Abbas, tomorrow. Let me tell you about the bits of Hashem that I'm putting into the relationship as the fixed points. Do you understand? The two elements have to go together, otherwise you can't generate Kiddush Hashem. And this, by the way, is expressed most strongly. Chazal expressed this strongly in the very concept of Lechem. We say, on the steer of the Gemara brings, that Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Baritim, Hashem, Ibn Eodom, or Hashem, Baritim, Loya, Kan, Koidim, Abroch, Acha, Abroch. Hashem provides us with the Lechem, and it's up to us. When we see that that's coming from the Shoresh, then we take that, we mevorech it, we express ourselves in relation to Hashem, then we can use it legitimately, then it becomes ours, otherwise it's violation. And amazingly, this entire Sedra is full of Lechem. The second theme of the parasha, the subject is Lechem, Mitchila Va'ad Sof. Let me just, again, time is short, but just look at it carefully, you'll see this, all the way through. Right at the beginning, with again, going back to the Koyanim, Le'echal L'Hashem Elokeihem, Ki Ishei Hashem Lechem Elokeihem E'makriv V'hayu Kodesh. They are going to bring the Lechem of Hashem, the bread of Hashem. And again, all the way through, Hashem Dabal Aaron Leimo Ish Mizar L'Doresem Hashem Yebamum, Abamum can't come, Le'akriv Lechem Elokeihem, to bring the bread of Hashem, etc., etc., etc. It's lechem aleichem legashakim, lechem aleichem lekachiv. It's always done in terms of lechem. Truma, kachiv is koki lechmai hu. The truma is the koyin's bread. It's all called lechem. Although it's amazing, isn't that amazing? All the way through the center, we're dealing with lechem. We didn't have much more to say on that, but we don't have the time for that. But I'm showing you this, that one should see the power of what's happening in all these little patches, building this incredible thing. And again, when we get to the Oymer, we again, we of course, Matt is obviously a Lechem Messi, but the Oymer we define the Lechem, the Kali, Bekarim, Lo Yisek, Radha, Tzimayim, and see, right, it's always the Lechem, and then they craft them, Allah Lechem, Shiva Kolasim, of Shavuos, the Shnei Lechem, obviously, and those are the Moedos, we focus on them in the harvest terms. And of course, then we get to the Lechem upon him, where the Mekalel has his Taina. So what is wrong with the Mekalel? Has missed the following very simple point. The Mekalel says, I don't understand this. You see, the Mekalel is waiting. He thinks the idea of Kiddush Hashem, he thinks that it is live your way. Do what you want to do, express yourself. He's Yetzei Me'oli Lomoi, but he's trapped himself into his own little universe, into his little world, his solipsistic environment, but all he's really doing is serving himself. What is the answer to the Lechem upon him? Exactly as he said, exactly as Chazal tell us. and they dash him for the fact that we called it, it's going to be betumah, but it can't be, it's can't ever become, it can't, so it got betara, so it can't ever be tumah, it's not makabal tumah, it never moves, so it does move, say chazal, they take it outside, on Yom Tovim, and they would show Klal Yisrael how beautiful, piping hot the lechem is, and it's lechem aponim, because it's curved to each face of the other, like the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. This is the source of relationship, says the Rebbeinu Shalom, lechem aponim, it's me who keeps it hot. I begin the relationship this way. This is my side in the relationship. This is your connection to the Shoresh, from which you can then learn how to do all the rest of the avodah, from which you can then learn how to express yourself, come out, and all the rest of the parasha that surrounds that. And amazingly, when it comes to the Makalel, so beautiful, we see something amazing. Klal Yisrael didn't know what to do with it. Because it's complicated. It's not posh about how Klala works, that you have to use the shame itself against it. It's a very complex thing, and especially the guy's living in his own little illusions anyway, can you really call him a Makalel? And what does Hashem say to Moshe? What do we say? In the middle of Tesis, Hotes and Makalel, Elam, Chutz, Lamach, and some who call Hashem ever has to put their hands out, Roshe, and then kill him. What are they doing that for? The Elbene Esau to Dabalemar. But then we digress. What is the theme? What is the yisod? What is going on with all these dinim? It's a very simple rule. Whatever you do creates a reality, and in that reality it comes back to destroy you. That is all these mitzvahs are telling you. Person kills someone, they get killed. A person damages someone, they get killed. There's a kasher also kenye also no. This guy may be living in his bubbles of illusions, but there's such a thing as reality. And that's the yisoid of Kiddush Hashem. Learn to live reality and then express yourself within it. If you do it the other way around, the danger is you're living all wonderful illusions. You think you're being holy, and in fact, what you're doing is just having a relationship with yourself. You think, you know, you're dabbling your way, and doing this way, and this that way, and the other way, and all you're doing is serving yourself. And next thing you know, you end up saying, Hashem's got it wrong, and Chas V'Shalom, you end up that way. So MR is when we begin to see the chibur of the ideas, how beautifully they all connect. I'm so sorry, so short from time, but I'll just finish with this. We live in Yimei Sphira, of course, Sphira Zayim is a part of this too. And in Sphira we have exactly this. We begin with Pesach. And Pesach is where we reach a level that is we have no self, we have no expression in Pesach at all. We just about did a carbon Pesach. But it was Kuloi Hashem. Kuloi a chibur to the Shoresh, a chibur to the source. But that's how a relationship begins. And then Hashem lets us go. And then what do? We don't think about this too much, because we don't live as farmers nowadays, and we don't live with the Beis HaMikdash nowadays, so all we think about is that it's between Pesach and Shavuot, Sefiras HaOmer. And that's true, but it's only one part of it. In Chumash, it never speaks about that. In Chumash, it always speaks about the beginning of the harvest season. You go out on the second day, you go out to Chol HaMoed, the Pesach, and you harvest. And you take from the world, from Hashem's gift, and you take that first harvest, and you bring it to Hashem, and it's called the Omer. And you count the first 49 days of Hashem's matana to you, and then you bring another carbon, shtei alecha. You bring the bread back to Hashem. And then you can use the first one, you can eat the chadosh, with the second one, you can bring it as a carbon. But do you understand what we're doing? Hashem lifts us, He goes us, He shows us the source of everything on Leilat Seder, on Pesach. And then He gives us 49 days to start to integrate within us and find our way of attaching to the source and our way of bringing our korban to Hashem, our way of bringing, until finally on Shavuos we bring that lechem. We bring that very bread that is the yisod of all this parasha. And we bring Kiddush Hashem into the world, and we bring Hashem down into the world, and we bring Torah down into the world. And that's what Kiddush Hashem is all about. The V'yisem Kedoshim, that is Mekuyim and Matan Torah, is what we're building towards in these days. In these days of Sphere. These days of what we're learning, Hashem. So Hashem should help us. I hope we've been able to see some of the Amkas over there. Hashem should help us. Rachamani Achzalon, Abayit, Beis HaMikdash, and Koyimai. And Meher of Yameinu, should be in Goyimai. Should be in Mashiach Tzidkenu, but Meher of Yameinu. Amen.